Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. I want to welcome everyone in to another episode of Morning Briefings as we stand on the wall and pray for the Office of the President. I just want to thank each and every one of you for joining in. It is a pleasure to have you all on each and every morning, and those who listen to the replay on Facebook and Pipeline. We greatly appreciate it as we stand here. And I meant to mention this yesterday, but with everything, all the news coming out, going to continue to hint at the increased censorship from Facebook and YouTube. So if we're ever not able to post, as they continue to have these seasons of pushing back and censoring people for disagreeing with them, even though despite the issue being we're putting out facts from organizations that they deem reliable, we will always be on Rumble. We always post our podcasts on Podbean. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify as well. So we'll continue to post things there, and we're on Gitter and Parler as long as those things allow freedom of speech to come forward. So with that, I want to start off in scripture, and the verse of the day plays in line with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in God removing iniquities from that land, even after the call to have grace for that land from those who understood what was God wanted to do. And the verse I want to point out is, I think David here in Psalms 139 points very out clearly of what a prayer focus should be during this day and this watch, as we're going through these prayer points that Chuck has in the Reordering Your Day book. And the verse we want to point out is it goes along with Genesis 19, the Sodom and Gomorrah story, of David saying, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Basically, remove those iniquities, remove those things that are not of you, and lead me towards the path of righteousness. Lead me toward the place of putting in seed that will lead toward an everlasting way. And the prayer focus is from the book that Chuck points out is he talks about, read Genesis 19. But he says, ask the Lord to deal with iniquitous structures in your life, family, and city. Get up, obviously in the morning watch is when he suggests to do these things from 3 to 6 a.m., and stand before the Lord and decree that there will come a cleansing of the land that you are a part of. And I titled this morning's message of uprooting iniquitous structures. And that is what we're seeing happen right now. Now, there's a big fight in the spirit realm and playing out in the natural that's happening. And so when we see these things happening, okay, we ask ourselves, Lord, what are you up to? What is going on? Which helps us understand from a peaceful perspective of having that potting soil of peace. So that you can get the revelation. You know, we continue to talk about how John Paul Jackson will always talk about peace is a potting soil of revelation. That's a very, key mind for, obviously, fruit of the Spirit. And so when we look at what the news coming out of the White House and the Biden administration is that it was imminent that Russia was going to attack Kiev today or Ukraine. I want to put this up here. It is now 4:34 p.m. in Kiev, and there has been zero news of an invasion from Russia on Ukraine, from Crimea, from bordering with Russia, from Belarus, and from and even going into Poland. And look, putting a timeline on something makes you look really bad. It was, I think it was incorrect for the Biden administration to do such a thing. And now Biden himself is coming out, which is what we talked about yesterday from the foreign defense minister of Ukraine, who said, we're not going to believe that there's a withdrawal and a de-escalation until we see it. And the U.S. itself hasn't been able to verify it. NATO chief, they haven't been able to verify it either. And now NATO is actually saying that they have reports and intelligence that says Russia is continuing to build up its military presence along the border within Ukraine. Now, despite the statement from Russia and the Kremlin to say that they're going to back down. So this situation is getting very uncontrollable. To sit here and say that, I think what the White House is trying to do is say, hey, we have a grip on this. We know what's going on. These situations are, you can't control people. You can't control Putin. You can't control the Russian military. So that's why we want to continue to pray. But then also want to point out is there's no news that Russia is pulling back despite videos and picture evidence, but no actual evidence of troops on the ground pulling back. Because those pictures could have been taken at any point in time. You don't know when. You don't know where. They say they're from Crimea, but where exactly? There's been no verifiable evidence from Ukraine, NATO, or the United States now. And good on Ukraine for upholding to its own understanding of how Russia operates and saying, yeah, we don't believe them until we see it. Trust but verify. Because now you're seeing it's being reported that yesterday Russia, there's actually, I'll put this link in there. It's a rundown from Fox News about all the news coming out of Russia, between Russia and Ukraine, that the Russian Minister of Defense said the army website was hit by cyber attacks. They're trying to get it back up. And saying that it's under maintenance because it's been hacked. There's some rumors that this possibly was like a false flag operation. Hey, let's hack the army website. Well, they deal with this issue. We'll go somewhere. That's cyber warfare. That's where the modern battlefield is in a lot of places today. And there's a lot of news coming out still daily, minute, hour by hour about what's going on, because this is a very tense situation. This applies to a host of the world. Biden even talked about potentially making some U.S. policy decisions here to prevent oil and gas prices from going up because we're having to import our natural gas, and we're going back towards being energy dependent rather than continuing to be energy independent, because even though we have the natural resources to be able to do it. And one thing that's coming out about this is that Ukraine itself, if it could get a hold and get independence and get some knowledge from oil and gas companies in Ukraine who have some integrity, can help them build up their economy to where them and the rest of Europe doesn't have to be solely dependent upon Russia to get the extra gas, oil and gas, and other energy resources that they need, as Ukraine has the resources, the storage facilities to be able to get the rest of Europe that energy that they need that they can't find elsewhere. And even if the United States could get that, that would help out as well. So we want to pray for the Biden administration to continue to have wisdom and fear of the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia and Ukraine on this issue. And kudos on Ukraine for standing up for their own sovereignty, for their own freedom, and not being led by what the United States is saying. talked about it yesterday about how Jake Sullivan has a history, who is a national security advisor for the Trump Biden administration, who is heavily involved in this issue. He has a lack of a history of verifying evidence when given to him. So not the most trustworthy person to listen to when they say it's imminent that Russia's going to attack. And these are the people talking and speaking into Biden's ear. Obama 3.0. We know that some of you guys have had dreams about that. So it's playing out, which is why we need to intercede for this, because this, again, affects not only us, Europe, but potentially the rest of the world as Russia and other countries like China, Iran, and North Korea continue to step up its efforts. All right, I want to move on to another story. This is something we've talked about a little bit before. Good news, but it's also something we need to pray about moving forward, is the Biden administration is now in the issue of trying to enforce vaccines on federal employees, a small portion that have not gotten vaccinated. There's a lawsuit that is in dispute that will be decided or heard on March the 8th or 18th. I'm trying to remember March 8th. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals will hear the courts, the U.S.'s appeal on a lower court's ruling to decline and block the vaccine mandate for federal employees, which is interesting because you have the whole healthcare workers issue. And what's interesting in all this is now the Biden administration is trying to be fiscally responsible and saying, well, if you don't allow us to enforce a vaccine mandate, then now we're going to have to spend up to $22 million a month testing unvaccinated federal employees, because we have a right to make sure that federal employees are tested, and we're going to have to basically segregate unvaccinated employees, et cetera, et cetera. And this is going to be challenged in the court system. And so a court case we want to pray about, but listen to this. If you have any sense of reasoning, the reasoning the Justice Department cited that gives President Biden the authority to enforce a testing mandate for federal employees who are unvaxxed is because supposedly this is their reasoning. They cited that in 1986, Ronald Reagan's executive order requiring federal employees against abstaining from using illegal drugs, both on and off duty, and argued that the president has broad power to regulate federal civil service. They're trying to equate use of illegal drugs, narcotics, a dilutant of the mind, and an illegal drug to that of somebody who is unvaccinated. This is astonishing that the Biden administration would even consider this argument. Hopefully it gets laughed out of court, but we want to pray for this golden court case on this issue, on the jab mandate, in order that it be repealed for federal employees, like the private sector. The Supreme Court ruled correctly. We need to pray for that the federal employees who have not been vaccinated have the right to make the decision for themselves, and ultimately for future issues to where showing that the administration is in complete overreach. And this is how they operate. They put something in play, fight it out in court, hopefully get a proper ruling, because arguments have to be argued correctly in court. And this is how they operate. This is how Obama operated. Nothing of a surprise here to see how they're going about these things. But to equate illegal drugs, methamphetamine, I mean, they're hanging out crack pipes, but like to say that illegal drugs equates to an unvaccinated person is just hysterical at the least. And just astonishing that they would even try this argument. Okay. In other good news, we followed this story and we want to continue to pray here on this one, is Senate GOP members have boycotted yesterday a vote on all banking committee nominees in order to get nominee Raskin to answer some questions on some things that she did not answer at the nominee congressional hearing nomination, and also when in response afterwards, because she still hasn't responded. And so they said, look, we're not voting on anybody until we get answers from this woman, Sarah Raskin, who we talked about some questions that needed to be answered about why a company she represented paid her so much, number one, for sitting on the board. Number two, how come they, a newer company who doesn't get approval from the Fed to operate in a special transaction system within the Federal Reserve, how come when you left the Federal Reserve before, you went to this company and they all of a sudden got approval, and she refuses to answer. Oh, I don't remember. Oh, I don't understand. And if you, the reasoning that they're pushing back on this is because talks about how Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania talks about how he said important questions about Ms. Raskin's use of the revolving door remain unanswered largely because of her repeated disingenuousness with the committee, from her sloppy questionnaire to an evasive conversation with committee staff, to her refusal to answer questions from Senator Loomis at her nomination hearing, and her non-answers and written follow-up questions on the hearing. To the hearing. On 36 questions for the record, for example, Ms. Raskin claimed she either did not recall or was unaware. Her repeated forgetfulness defies credibility. And so they're saying, look, we're not going to vote you forward if you're not going to answer these questions. If you want our approval, you need to answer these questions. And not only should she not be approved for that, some of them say, but even her involvement when she was on the federal chair and even some of the policy decisions she said and advocated for, how she's repeatedly and forcefully advocated for having the Federal Reserve allocate capital and choke off credit to disfavored industries, is alone disqualifying and reason enough to vote against her. And we talked about that when her name came up for this position within the Fed. And the reason that this is something to pray for wisdom for these senators to stand up to is because this is a 10-year position at the Federal Reserve. So somebody who will act as a political activist outside of the Federal Reserve position and inside the Federal Reserve position, because she's been on the board before at a lower level position within the Obama administration. And kudos on them for standing up, and hopefully they can stand up to her. So we want to intercede for that, intercede for congressional and staff leaders to have wisdom revelation when voting to confirm cabinet appointees. Yesterday, the FDA nominee was put forward on a bipartisan level. There are some issues there. Joe Manchin had – there's people coming forward that the Biden administration is putting forward that have a lot of red flags that need to be answered before they're even considered. And thankfully, before they've stood up against known socialist communists. And there's things that are very questionable about even some of the nominees who are still up for approval that need to be talked about. And this brings up a bigger question of even talking about the whole Durham issue. And I've talked about it before about how there potentially needs to be either term limits. And I can't remember if I talked about it here, but there needs to be a cleaning out of the swamp. And Trump obviously promised that when he got in. I don't think he realized how deep it was when he got there. And I think the Durham investigation is showing how deep it really, really is. And now the GOP is calling for a total clean out of Washington political class, which I don't think is a wrong thing to occur, because the issue at play is the swamp runs deep, and we're learning now how deep it really runs. We're seeing that even the Biden administration hired the company that spied on Trump in office and his campaign and those in his office. They hired the same company, Neustar Information Services, for their campaign. Now, There's no evidence that they, there's no evidence that I've seen yet that they did the same thing the Hillary Clinton campaign did. But if you're hiring the same firm that has question marks and allegations around it, that needs to be looked into. And this firm has only been around and only been paid in political campaigns by the Clinton and Biden campaigns. It's very interesting. Not only this, but also now, I think what we're seeing is even in the political landscape and in the private sector, Facebook now has decided to settle a decades-old lawsuit where they're now going to pay $90 million after a lawsuit alleges that they tracked user data without consent. Now, this was back in 2000. This is a lawsuit dating back to 2010, 2011. If Facebook's doing it, they've learned how to do this. Now you're seeing it come into the campaign. This involves not just the president of the United States, but the entire populace within the United States. And this gets into Section 230 and the authority there, which is why you see Facebook coming out and say, you know, the regulators, they needed to decide something because we don't want to get sued. We don't want to have to keep paying these lawsuits because we know we broke the rules. They've lied. Google, YouTube, CEOs, everybody have lied before Congress about the nefarious acts that they're doing. And so what you're seeing is this uprooting of this iniquity in this season. You're seeing everything be exposed right now. Now, why would God allow that to happen? Okay, we would say, well, you know, we understand he would – we believe he wanted Trump to be in office in this term, but Biden's in office, but yet all this stuff is being exposed. And my next story, I think, points out the fact of if this stuff wasn't happening, it's not just, you know, whether we here understood or not, it's whether the populace of the United States understands it. And I point this story out because this is showing that even those who potentially voted for Biden and agreed with some of these policies before are starting to wake up to it in the story coming out of San Francisco that yesterday parents on a recall for school board members over strict pandemic rules voted for three of them. At least 75% opted to oust each one, because they pushed for kids to be in online learning. They prevented kids from being able to come back to school a year late. And now the governor has to select people and there's going to be a re-election. Some are going to try to get back in. But I point this story out to show that people are waking up. And if you remember back, we probably need to focus on it more, of praying for those who are not listening to the Holy Spirit, you know, quote unquote, in the enemy's camp, to be healed, delivered, and to come back into the Lord's camp. And even if they don't have a history of understanding and having a relationship with the Lord, that the Holy Spirit would come and touch them and awaken them. And in this hour of government overreach and iniquitous systems trying to make its root systems deeper, the Lord is exposing it right now. And honestly, for redemptive purpose of the better. And so there's in that the redemptive purpose of this all, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good, is prayer is to continue to pray that those who are not in a relationship with the Lord be healed, delivered, and get back in a relationship with him so that they can be a part of this army to take this nation back to its original destiny of spreading the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. So that we can uproot these systems that are, like in Canada, complete overreach, as you're seeing there. So we want to continue to pray for that, as well as repent for giving up the education system to Caesar and intercede for parents to get involved and take back the education mountain for the Lord. That is the most important one right now. And there are teachers groups, social activist groups who are now trying to undermine some of the laws and the advocacy of parents to remove CRT and LGBTQ and sex education within the school system. They're still going about doing it. There's a report out there now that they're still doing it. If you're doing online education without you knowing it, just discreetly. So be aware for those parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles of what's going on. Pray for the parents to have the wisdom to deal with this stuff, because this is not a issue that the enemy will give up, because they understand the education mountain, besides a religious mountain, is one of the most important. So if you can control the education mountain, you control the rest of society. And we're seeing that right now with the business activists from corporate activism, which, if you've ever heard Eric Metaxas talk about it when he was in college, way back when, he's not a young man. He said he saw it then, and those people that he was in college with then are now on the boards and leaders of some of these companies. So this is something that was slowly occurring underneath everyone's nose, and we were kind of lulled to sleep by it. And that's the way the enemy's played its hand, but now it's coming to fruition where it's being exposed. And now's the time to continue to stay on the wall, pray for this nation and the office of the president, so that people can be awakened, healed, delivered, and get back on the wall and in relationship with God to stand for not only the destiny that for themselves individually, but for this nation, to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nation and make disciples of the nations. So with that, I want to end. Bless each and every one of you. Don't forget, if we're not on Facebook, we'll be on Rumble, Podcast, Gitter, Parler, and if there's this new one that Trump's doing, we'll see how it evolves, if we need to be on there or not. And then today we have our noon prayer, our appeal to heaven, noon watch, in praying for this nation to appeal to heaven in this season. And tonight we have our healing and deliverance service as well. And I'll be back tomorrow morning for another episode of Standing on the Wall, praying for the office of the president. Blessings, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.